The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to SpiritMotorGroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
Now, parts of the country are showing signs that they have eliminated COVID-19 while others are still battling the virus. So, should we ease restrictions or hold firm to protect those counties that have no cases? Sam McConkey is infectious disease specialist, head of the Department of International Health and Tropical Medicine at RCSI, University of Medicine and Health Sciences, and he is on the line now, and we'll be speaking to the leader of the Labour Party, Alan Kelly, in a few moments. Sam, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we've been talking about the Leaving Cert and all the rest of it. Let's talk about schools and whether or not they really should be open now.
So I would support the idea of getting the creches open soon and getting our primary and secondary schools open soon. When I say soon, I mean in June, essentially, rather than waiting to September. The reason I'm advocating for that, Pat, is because if we wait until September, it'll start probably in a gradualistic way with only a subset of the classes, most likely, and we'll have some phasing in gradually and some learning, some development of ways of learning hand washing, ways of splitting breaks at different times, ways of physical distancing in the classroom. Maybe some more teachers may be needed, maybe reorganisation, say a sports hall or learning support classroom as a class for a smaller number of students in one room. So rather than doing that learning in September, I think we should be trying out some phased pilots in June, getting maybe in third, fourth, fifth, sixth class, spreading them out into eight rooms rather than four, and having a better teacher-pupil ratio. And then we can learn and get confidence from that as to what needs to be changed and what needs to be done over the summer. The Danish people have already done this, Pat. They're up in schools 4-6 weeks and everything seems to be fine there. There are certainly, as you said, some parts of the country, I wouldn't just quite say eliminated, but there haven't been cases for a week or two, and that's great. Once you've a part of the country where there's 28 days, which is double the 14-day incubation time, then that's when you can claim elimination. And certainly we don't want people travelling from, you know, the big cities on the east where you might reintroduce it to the mostly western counties where it seems to be almost stopped transmitting.
Now, let's concentrate first of all on the schools. I mean, do you think we have nailed our colours to the mast here? And doesn't help that we have an interim government where the Minister for Education may not be the Minister for Education in 3 weeks' time. So you have a kind of a paralysis because it doesn't seem to be a very dynamic kind of thinking process that's going on. You know, we decide we'll open in September, then there's a suggestion that we might open in the last week in August, big deal kind of thing. Well, meanwhile, there's the entire month of June where kids could be back at school and learning the new reality, but they're not.
I think it's challenging for many reasons. One, there's fear and there's a lack of trust. People are afraid, they're concerned, they're worried, will my children catch COVID-19? Will they bring it back into the family? And I think it's now's the time, and certainly in the areas of very low transmission, to be very open about how successful what we've done in the last 3 months has been at preventing transmission, and to try and celebrate that and say, therefore, it's okay for teachers to go back to work. It's okay for parents to trust that if their children go to school, that things will be okay. And there may be some changes needed, like social distancing, rather than parents all meeting each other parents in the morning time as they deliver their children off. In Denmark, they're doing a staggered drop-off and a staggered collecting so that there aren't dozens of parents milling around the same area at the pick-up point. So I'm not saying everything will go back to being the same, but I do feel our children, their education is essential for our whole society. They want to play with their friends. I believe they need advocates, they need spokespeople for the children, and they need education. The reading, writing, arithmetic and music and dancing and sport and the things that we learn at school are so important. So I think it is a confidence building challenge rather than just a political one. And there's also the teachers need to be happy, teachers' representatives need to be happy, and parents, and of course the boards of the school, the owners, the patrons and the Department of Education all need to be part of this mix. So I think we need a social partnership urgently of all those
groups
to work out how to do it.
Are we not in stasis at the moment? Nothing like that is happening. Now, my observations, because I'm out and about walking every day and I do wear a mask to protect others, I suppose, but I watch and I see zero social distancing among large groups of young people who are cavorting around the place. And I'm thinking they might as well be at school, because they're certainly mixing with each other very closely. And if one of them has it, they'll all have it. So they might as well be doing that in school than parading around the place. In some case, I mentioned earlier, in White Rock, beating other kids up outside Teddy's Ice Cream, beating a girl up. I've seen this kind of thing going on. And these are just random things we've come across. I'm sure there's much more of it going on. They would be better off in school.
Yeah, I do think there's a lot to be said for children getting into routines and getting into the things that benefit them and transform them into something else, and having the structure to a day and the physical exercise and sport that school and structured sports and you know, team sports also provide for us. So I do feel that's our next big challenge, is really getting, as I said, creche and youth activities back functioning. I feel that everyone's giving out, of course, about the young people outside. I'd say, Pat, you and I both did a bit of physical intimacy when we were young, so I'm not sure they're any different from you and I when we were young. So I think this is normal, not beating up other people, but certainly wanting to play with your friends when you're a teenager and be close to them is part of normal life.
But if it's okay, do you know what I'm saying? If we tolerate that, why can we not tolerate the schools being open?
Well, it's about trust. It's about teachers being confident that they won't catch it and bring it home to their maybe elderly relatives, and about pupils being safe and parents being having trust there too. And I think there's a lot of confidence building work needed there, and that's quite a challenge at this point, because everyone's sort of afraid and confused and worried, because we've been through a bit of a shock and trauma as a nation for the last 3 months. But my message would be that we're now coming out of this, our numbers are getting better, and we're not seeing the huge cases, and we need to stick together. We need to be one nation doing the same thing of 5 million people. Unfortunately, in 3 or 4 months this whole thing could come back, and we could be stuck with having to go back to phase one or phase zero in December. You know, who really knows? So, but now when it's settled down, I think that the challenge is to start building enough confidence to get us out there.
Okay. So now, Sam, the next phase will allow the 5K to become a 20K limit. And there are those saying, look, if I want to go to my granny, who is in West Cork, and that's, you know, 300 kilometres or whatever it might be, but other people have a granny who's only living 15 kilometres away.
Yeah.
It's not fair to me that they can visit their granny when I can't. And I'm in the car from the moment I step into it outside my door to the moment I step out of it outside their door. What's the difference between 15K and 300K?
So I think that it's better that we do not open up free travel all over Ireland at this point. I think I very strongly said over the weekend, I think that's the wrong thing to do, because then the number of areas like, well, Dublin and Cork and a few others where there have been cases would then reintroduce even just one or two into the rural areas where there's very little. And that means they end up then going backwards. So that's, I think, a bad idea. And fairness is, equity is quite a challenge here. I would look at equity, Pat, in terms of wealth equity in Ireland, in terms of income equity and equality in those terms, rather than the equity of seeing our grannies. Because at this time, if your granny is in County Sligo, for example, or Donegal, with almost none, then it's probably not in her interest or in the interest of her community or the people in Donegal in general for you and I to be driving from Dublin up to Donegal at this point, even though that may feel inequitable to us. But I think equity is a great concept, and I think it should be about wealth equity, looking at what's the income distribution and the wealth distribution of the 5 million people in Ireland, and how does that stack up in terms of equality. Are we getting more equal or are we getting less equal in terms of the physical assets, your net worth, my net worth, everybody's net worth? How does that compare across our country? So certainly there are equity considerations in all this, but my view, it should be income and wealth we're asserting our equity on, not our ability to drive 300 kilometres at this time, because I think we're better off not driving for public health reasons. But I think social equity will help us, but not the equity of seeing our grannies.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though. People will be giving out about the fact that someone can actually see a relative simply because they're within 20K. And someone who's unfortunate enough to have a relative living 25K away cannot make that journey.
Yeah,
that's all the point I'm making.
That is the way it is, I think. And I mean, there's so many aspects of what we've all been through in the last few months don't feel fair and don't feel right. And I can understand that. I think some of us have got, you know, Skype and Zoom and Facebook and WhatsApp with our mothers and loved ones. Some of our loved ones struggle to use those video conferencing. It was back to the old telephone. And then last week I was struggling. Even the telephone in Monaghan wasn't working. So we were having really difficulties communicating. And that's very, very isolated when you can't even hear people. So I think we have to use the technologies and use the communication devices and use our language and our you can write a card, write a letter, send a gift. There are many ways of showing care and concern and affection for people that don't necessarily involve physically being there. So I think we have to show others that we love them, even though we're not physically there.
So your message to the Dubs and the Cork people and people who live in areas where there is still infection, stay put.
Absolutely, definitely. For now, hopefully in three or six weeks for the following phases, then as it's controlled more, hopefully in Dublin and Cork, we will come. So I hope, that the future will improve. But right now, I think it's not the right time to be journeying.
OK, Professor Sam McConkie, thank you very much. Alan Kelly, leader of the Labour Party, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You've been listening to our conversation, Alan. You believe that effective social distancing for many people is just out the window.
Well, it's I share your views, which you spoke about earlier on. I live near Lough Derg in Tipperary, and a lot of small areas, Ballina, Killaloe, Castlelock, Gary Kennedy, Drumineer, areas like that, which basically had huge crowds over the fantastic bank holiday weekend. And, you know, to a point, I suppose you're seeing that certainly people are practicing an element of social distancing, but this 2 meters just isn't happening in large degrees. And also, I think, you know, in relation to, I suppose, cleanliness and hygiene, certainly that is an area which has improved hugely. So when it comes to making our decisions into the future as regards the roadmap, I think what my main issue is, everyone will have an opinion. Nobody's going to be perfect. Nobody's going to be right. We have to obviously rely on public health advice. But the decision-making equations by which we look at the roadmap and how we open things up, given the good trajectory we're going in, that is what concerns me. Because on one side of the equation, you obviously have the public health advice relating to COVID. On the other side of the equation, you have the economic situation, which is becoming catastrophic in a few months' time. We have the social issues, a lot of social issues. I mean, many people are regressing. Elderly people I know are regressing. I see it with my own eyes. And then the most important factor, which I think needs to be really dialed up, and Dr. Anthony O'Connor let it out in the Dáil Chamber yesterday, is the whole area of non-COVID healthcare, where we're looking at, you know, nearly a million people waiting for appointments. And if you look at the five criteria for opening up, one of them is secondary morbidity and mortality. And I think that part really needs to be emphasized, because I don't believe it has been today, because we're speaking to people in the HSE and other in healthcare professionals. We're facing into a huge, huge backlog. And certainly people are suffering because they're not going for their appointments. And until we normalize a little bit society, I don't think they are going to go to the level required. So we really need to balance this up in our decision making as regards how we open up society.
Yeah. But, you know, when we talk to Professor Luke O'Neill, he always says, you know, it's a balance of risk. If you do 2 meter social distancing, you're less likely to get COVID-19 than you are at 1 meter. If you wear a mask, you're less likely to, and so on and so forth. So those are the kind of personal decisions that we can make, and hand washing and all the rest of it. But then there are others. You mentioned people with intellectual disabilities, for example, no stimulation because they can't go to their day centres. Older people who are losing the will to live because they have no stimulation, all of that kind of thing. But at the same time, it's difficult to make a decision to say, OK, we open up all these services and then one or two people die.
Well, it is all about managing risk. It is all about the balance. And what I've been trying to say for the last number of weeks, I've raised the issue of the elderly. I've raised the issue of people with intellectual disabilities, which is a huge, huge concern for me. Some really, really worrying stories out there. And obviously, we know cancer screening, which is something I've been very much an advocate for, as you know, Pat, for many years. And then, which will mean in some cases, even though it's not diagnostic, it will result in potentially delayed diagnosis for people and mortality. So we've got all of these issues we've got to consider when we're making our decisions. And my fear is that it's basically NPHET make the decisions, which is fine, and then that they are taken unilaterally by government. We need to counterbalance that with economic issues, with social issues, and most importantly in my book, non-COVID health issues, because we're facing into serious, serious problems in our health, daily health services in the coming months ahead as well. And if we don't have some form of normalization of society, we're not going to get people to engage with the health service. And that is on top of the fact that all engagement with the health service now is going to take way longer, because appointments and scheduling is going to take longer. PPE is going to have to be used all the time. So where is all of that in relation to the equation that I speak about? Where is all of that in relation to decision making? Why aren't we bringing in more?
Well, isn't it all about mentioned to Sam about the stasis, because we don't have a permanent government yet. One of my listeners wants me to ask you, his name is Shane. Alan, do you fancy another election? Give it another go and gazump the Greens to be junior partner. That have any attractions for you?
Well, if another election happens, we'll face that head on. I've no problem with another election. That all depends on what happens in the coming week with the government formation talks. If that happens, it happens, we'll deal with it. But ultimately, I agree with you. That is part of the equation here in relation to decision-making, the fact that we don't have a permanent government. But having said that, constitutionally, the government is in place. It has to make decisions. And my real fear is that the way in which we're making decisions hasn't changed from the phases we've gone through in this situation. I understand 100% we unilaterally took all the recommendations of NPHET at the very beginning. But now there has to be other considerations. I have a deep worry across all those health issues. I believe that the process by which the decisions are being made isn't bringing in enough expertise from other areas and isn't taking into other considerations that are really, really necessary.
Would you favour schools going back much earlier than is suggested now, the last week in August,
I spoke to Sam face-to-face on this last week. We were both in prime time together, and I thought his article that he wrote on this previously is very, very, is a good article, and it makes an awful lot of sense, because I have young children myself. You can imagine that when they go back to school in September, in whatever way which they do, the amount of time is going to take them to be socialised to the new changes, and that's all going to dissipate and take away from the time that they have for learning. So I think it's very... But there's also other contradictions. I believe we should be opening up creches by now. I believe that the idea that we're talking about having summer schools, but we don't know what's happening in relation to schools, is a huge contradiction. I believe that we have to roll out health services for people with disabilities and those who have mental health issues. And the idea that certain retail shops aren't open while others are, for me, is ridiculous. It's crazy, that a shop that sells shoes on the street in Nina can't open, but you can go into Dunn's and you can buy a pair of shoes. So they have, like, these are contradictions. All of these are different layers of importance, of course. But really, we need to have a decision-making process across the equation I spoke about that reflects more than what information is just coming from NPHET. I also believe the daily briefings that are going on every day, I think it's time now, after we finish on June the 8th, hopefully, that we continue this trajectory, that we phase those out, because really it should be government who are making the updates on a weekly basis.
All right. Alan, thank you very much for joining us. That's Alan Kelly, leader of the Labour Party. Some of the texts: schools need to go back after the August bank holiday in a phase basis, so that come September the 1st, they are all systems go. Talk to any teacher or teacher's union and they won't tolerate any form of an early return that eats into their holidays. Madness that we close hotels and coffee shops. We're itching to have Ryanair dictate to us less than a metre distance in the aircraft, and tickets selling for 20 euros. What kind of nonsense is this? Asks TJ in Carrigaline. Marie in Limerick. I always suspected people were awful. seeing so many out this weekend just has confirmed that to me. It was absolutely ridiculous. Now, yesterday we asked our listeners a question on Twitter. Would you support making masks mandatory in public spaces as a condition of easing lockdown restrictions? Well, after 24 hours, the results are in, and it seems that most of you would favour the mandating of masks for use in certain public situations. 4,400 voted in the poll. The final result was 65.9% said yes, we should mandate masks, while 34.1% would not. Virtually 2-1 on that poll.